Please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. We are going to witness the coming down of New Jerusalem this morning. We have watched the destruction of the earth, the judgment of those that have denied the Lord Jesus Christ, not called upon Him to be their Savior. And now the glorious eternity begins to unfold how and where and when we're going to spend eternity with our Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, we're going to begin reading there. And it came unto me, one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the names of 12 of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. If you folks know how I have trouble with words, I have written them out, I've looked at them. The second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple was the temple of it, and the Lamb the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's please go to the Lord after we've read that beautiful passage. Father, thank you and praise you for the day. It's such an honor to come and to read your precious word. I just ask that you'll strengthen our hearts, that you'll help us, dear Father, to get in our mind, in our hearts, not only the power of being saved and our sins forgiven, set free, but also the life to come. We focus so much time and so much effort upon today and the world, and yet we get a little picture in human thinking and in human description of what eternity is going to be like with our Lord. This beautiful city, this wonderful city, this perfect city. Please, dear Lord, have us to work taking out the gospel, telling folks how to be saved, bringing people in and helping them to grow, and that they would go out and win others, and that they would not only win them, but they will also teach them and grow them to know you and to serve you and to praise you, that they may, at their death, at the supper of the Lamb, we will enjoy rewards. And not for ourselves, but that we may lay them at the feet of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please now, guide and lead us and touch our hearts as we look through this picture of the coming down of New Jerusalem. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the class downstairs, that's what we work on when somebody doesn't know the answer. You can tell in their voice. They will make a statement and be very solid and sound. And then if they don't know, why, you can hear it in their voice. It's weak. It's not as solid. And so we work on that. And you folks have known me a long time and know how I am with the English language. I have problems with words. And so I probably went through those names of those foundations probably 30 times this morning, over and over and over again. Sapphire, I knew. You get to where you're looking so hard at them that you miss the obvious ones. And so I appreciate your prayers and your patience and your understanding, and realize that I am defective. And so in this ninth verse, we begin to look at New Jerusalem. Who is spoken of here, who we're told that's involved with this, is one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. The other participant here is John. And the angel here tells John to come and see. To come and see. Now, as we look at this, he was carried away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And so John was lifted up to this great and high mountain in the spirit. In the spirit. So in his spiritual eyes, he sees this. But one thing I want you to know without a question, this isn't just something that is spiritualized. This is something that is literal. Now, it's really beyond our imagination to understand it. We're going to find some numbers here in just a little bit, and those numbers are this city is 1,500 miles square. This way, this way, and this way. 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. So John gets the opportunity, and he has the invitation, come and see. And so he was taken to this position. He was carried away in the spirit to this great and high mountain to see this holy city, New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. It's coming down out of heaven from God. From God. John pens this as he saw it in the Spirit. But not only did he see it in the Spirit, but the Spirit also is leading his hands as he writes, so that everything is just perfect and exact. And he gives it so we can see it and understand. He doesn't just tell us about hell and the lake of fire and what's going to happen to those that choose not the Lord Jesus. He also tells us of how wonderful and glorious it's going to be for those that do choose Jesus. This exceeding and high mountain, his eyes see this great city, New Jerusalem, come down. Let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to read just the first six verses. We've read them a couple of times before in the last few weeks. The Lord Jesus wants to comfort his disciples, but he also wants to comfort us with these same words. And so John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know not, and the way ye know. Verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, or how can we know the way? And here is the most precious part of this whole verse. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world today, the liberal churches today, leave out the Lord Jesus. They pray to God, they speak to the Father, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. Jesus told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know him. We are promised up here, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare. He goes to build, to make a place for us. Those mansions, you can use your own imagination, but in the Greek, it's a staying. It's a residence. It's an abode. It's the place. I love that end one. It's the place. It's the place. And we're going to take a look at this place. We come on down now to the 11th verse of the Revelation 21. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We have many precious stones. Gold is something that is cherished. Diamonds, sapphires, beautiful, beautiful stones. Beautiful stones. You can look at that stone and if it's a diamond and it's cut correctly, why, it just from every side, it's just a beautiful stone. We find that the jasper stone will be clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. This light, the glory of God, the light of the city. In the 12th through the 25th verse, it describes the foundations, the walls, the streets, and the gates. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. God does it in the only means that we can understand. He has to take things of the earth, change them, yet so we can understand, and we're right here, jasper stone, clear as crystal. We're going to find the streets are of gold, clear. We can't imagine. But you see, when you can take these precious stones, and only fire purifies them. But it's at best still polluted. So anything that we have in this life, anything that we possess here, our most gracious, most cherished possession. It could be maybe a diamond ring or something that was your mother's or your grandmother's or your great-grandmother's, something that's been handed down. So more than the value of it is the meaning of it, where it came from. But anything that we have here is polluted. It's polluted. Not going to be perfect. Never. Not here on earth. Not on this earth. But here. And that's what we got to get our eyes focused on. Not on here, but there. We're going to spend eternity there. How long does this life last in relationship to eternity? Again, God uses the only thing that He can use in measurement so we'd understand. It's as a vapor. As a vapor. Now, I don't know how long that you've lived, but I do know one thing, and that is that the older you get, the faster time goes. It just seems like that a month ago we were doing the Christmas program. I don't know what happened to everything between. Yesterday was Thanksgiving. Tomorrow will be Christmas. The next day will be Resurrection Sunday. Time moves very fast. And yet we look back and we think in our lifetime that it's been an eternity. It's been an eternity. I was out choring this morning this morning or yesterday morning, and I remembered why, I don't know, but my grandmother and grandfather died when they were 57. I'm 58. I think to myself how young they were. Now, when I was 10 when Grandma and Grandpa died. They were old. I look in the mirror. I'm not that old. You know, I get a little shine, but I'm not that old. But we look back through time, and you think of all the things in your life. It seems like a long time. Yes, it moves fast, but it seems like a long time. But God calls this life a vapor. So enjoy this life and enjoy the things of this life, but don't get all tangled up in it because it's going to be gone. And you're not taking one thing with you. Your most precious physical item here, you're not taking with you. And you know what? You don't want to. If you took one thing from this earth and you could take it home with you in heaven, you'd pollute heaven. Because it's not perfect. It's going to be perfect. Going to be perfect. God explains it, and it's the only way He can explain it, and that's with earthly things. Who here can imagine, for instance, a diamond being 1,500 miles square? Put that on your finger and wear it, ladies. 1,500 miles square. You wouldn't drag it because it's 1,500 miles high, too. Give you a little bit of an understanding. I Dad years ago used to go to Brownsville, Texas for a couple of weeks or a month during the wintertime. And it's about 1,650 miles from here to Brownsville, Texas. Now, if you look at Brownsville, it's way down there. And so you could almost go to Dallas, Texas and back. I think it's 900 miles or something, I think, or it's been a little while since I've been there. But you think about that distance, and that's the size of New Jerusalem. That's the size. We read about this great city. It had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written there on, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We're going to have the 12 apostles. We're going to have the 12 tribes. We read about this great wall. It's a wall to a city that's 1,500 miles high. 1,500 miles high. The names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel, are written in the foundation at the gate. At the gate. There's 12 children. There are 12 tribes, 12 sons. There's going to be 12 gates. Why would it be right there at the gate? Salvation is of the Jews. We know in John chapter 4, verse 22, salvation is of the Jews. It's what the Lord Jesus told the Samaritan woman. Gentiles were without hope, without God, aliens, strangers. But Jesus, you see, has broken down that wall. And now the gospel is to whosoever will, whether it be Jew or Gentile. But the door was opened with the Jews. And so is their name written in the doorway. It was given to Israel, and through God's chosen people, it's come to us. What a gift. The location in the 13th verse of these gates are generally given. There's three on each side, three on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. Three on the west. Just begin to build this city in your mind. We have three great gates on each side. We have a city, not a country. A city that is 1,500 miles every direction. Going to be measured here in a minute. Going to be measured. It's measured by a reed, we're told. But these gates, three gates on the north, three on the east, three on the north, three on the south, three on the west. And then in verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So first of all, we have the 12 tribes at the gate. Now we have the 12 apostles, one written on each one of the foundations, and there are 12 foundations. Now, most have it in their mind that each foundation starts and kind of comes up in this fashion to meet the wall. But each foundation has a name. And that name is each one of the 12 apostles. And our foundation is upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word that the apostles preached. The church. If you've got a wall that's 1,500 miles high, it takes a pretty good foundation to hold it up. In the 15th verse, we have the measuring stick. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city. And the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. This measuring stick was a reed. At this time, a reed was something that was 10 foot long. Who here would like to measure a city 1,500 miles long with a 10-foot stick? I've got a wheel. I measure things with a wheel. With a 10-foot rod. With this measuring stick, he finds it to be, the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it is equal. So he tells us the size, and he measured it. Now, for you that enjoy math, a furlong is 582 feet. Times the 12,000 furlongs. Then if you divide that by 5,280 feet, which is a mile, you'll come up with 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. And it is every direction. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. Now we come to the wall. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according as to the measure of a man, and that is of the angel. So we have something 1,500 miles high, and we have it 216 feet thick. 216 feet thick. What is the width of your walls? You know, today, this all rests on these 12 foundations. But today, you know, we build a house, a home, a business. We build a building out of, this one's built out of cinder blocks and studs and drywall and paneling and insulation, and we put it all together. God doesn't build his walls out of these materials. Have you noticed what God is using to build? Do you notice what he's used for the foundation? The precious lists that we have listed from 19 down through 21. He measured the walls, so we have now 1,500 miles each way, 1,500 miles high. We have 12 foundations. We have 216 feet is the thickness of the wall. We have 12 gates, three on every wall, three on each side. And so that's what we have to this point. Now, verse 18, the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. You'll find that the walls were of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And if you'd like to just jump down a minute, you're going to find that the gates were of one pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And so now we are getting a look at this city. The items that we call most precious, a diamond ring, a bracelet, a necklace, something that's made of gold and it has a precious stone in it, and it's your greatest possession. Maybe something that holds the greatest amount of wealth that you have is in that possession. Do you see what God uses those possessions to do with? To build roads, to build walls. God uses the greatest that we can imagine, and he uses that to build his roads with and to build his walls with. That's how great it's going to be to be a part of New Jerusalem. He uses the most precious that we can imagine here, something that we cherish here, and he uses it for the simplest, to build a wall, to build a floor, to build the foundations, to build the gates. Not going to be much construction on the gates. One pearl per gate. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. All manner of precious stones. And we're going to try this one more time. These precious stones. Listen to the list that he gives us there. Some of them we're familiar with and some of them we're not. But I guarantee you, it's most precious. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardonyx, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinus, amethyst. These are the 12 named one first through the 12th. Are listed in the 19th and 20th chapter. These are the foundations, the most precious. These are the foundations. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. We have the foundation. We have the walls. We have the size. We have the size of the wall. We have the gates now. One pearl. One pearl. How big is the gate? The wall is 1,500 miles high. How big's the gate? The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Pure gold. The gold that we have today, no matter how it's refined, is polluted. Pure gold. You going to like that place? Taking the best that we have to use as an example to tell us how great it is, and he has told us how it's built. He doesn't say he's going to give each one of us diamonds and gold and silver. He's going to use those things to build the walls, the streets, and the foundations. How great is it going to be in New Jerusalem with our Lord? We're out of time, and I don't want to rush through the last few verses here. The temple, there'll be no temple. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. The city is going to need no sun or moon. Their glory will be the light. The gates of the city will always be open because there's no night. There'll be no corruption. There'll be no lies. There'll be no abomination. Those that will be there will be those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We'll review that on into the 22nd chapter. When we return to this next week, we'll be going through the birth of the Lord Jesus. But please, please, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the question. Did you see a slight difference between where the lost will spend eternity and where the saved spends eternity? I hope your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. And let's be telling those that family members lost that don't know Jesus. Be praying for them. Bring them to Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and just enjoy this time together. In giving this earthly example of a perfect place we can't imagine. Nothing will ever deteriorate. Nothing will rust. Nothing will tarnish. Everything will stay forever perfect. We will have our glorified bodies. Our bodies will never be sick. We'll never have the flu. We'll never need surgery. We'll never have an ache or pain. We'll never shed a tear. What a place. What a place. Why would anyone reject a free gift of salvation and trade this place for the lake of fire burning with brimstone, where the pain never ends, dying and yet never die, total darkness, always hearing the screams of those that are there with you, whatever hurts and problems you have here, they will haunt you. But the greatest time, the most difficult time in hell will be hearing over and over again salvation, knowing that it was a free gift and they rejected it. How long will they be there? Father, just as long as we're going to be in this New Jerusalem, and that's forever and ever and ever. So please, Lord, stir our hearts. Make us so pleased and thankful for what we have in you, and take that wonderful message out. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.